Greetings once again, and welcome to Virgin City Podcast, episode number 15. I'd like to take a moment right now to remind you that Virgin City Podcast can be found at virgincity.podomatic.com and is brought to you by www.stubbornrecords.com. And if you like the music and if you like the podcast, the best way that you can support the music and help us continue the podcast and making records for you is to just buy something at www.stubbornrecords.com. We're here with Travis Nelson from Hub City Stompers, formerly of Inspector 7. Banished to Bogeyland was the final Inspector 7 record, right?
Yeah. We had the two full lengths, The Infamous and Banished to Bogeyland, and we were on countless compilations.
Countless. That's not an exaggeration.
Probably some out there I don't even freaking know about. But
how come you guys never kind of put all that compilation stuff together into an album?
Well, most of it was released stuff that was already on the other
records. Oh, you mean it came off the albums and went on to compilations?
Yeah, I mean, some of it were the same songs just recorded specifically for the comps, versions, for the comps, and others were just directly off the same recording as the freaking record anyway. There was maybe one or two, like Now, the song Now on the Scaliente comp. That's the only place you're going to find that song. But other than that, it was mostly songs that were otherwise released on the albums anyway. So yeah, but Banished to Bogeyland was, I believe, the last thing we ever recorded back in that era, should I say. Back in the original Inspector 7 era.
And the reason you say that is?
Well, we technically broke up in 2001. I mean, Stephanie left, I believe, early on in the very beginning of 2001, like in January. I know we were looking for a replacement keyboard player. That never happened. We practiced like 3 times that whole year. There were a lot of elements in the demise. Some of it was just personal stuff with people being, jaded and all that. And some of it was the whole creative differences thing. Some of it, some people just kind of lost interest. Just lost perspective.
Or gained it.
Yeah, some very well may have gained it as well. But I mean, it was, come fall, I was basically like,
I'm always jealous of people that give up music,
Yeah. You know what? Me too now. But come fall, I was just like, what are we doing? Why we haven't done anything in like 9 months. Why don't we just have a last show, last hurrah, and call it a day? And as a true testament to our disarray, we couldn't even organize a last show. We just kind of fizzled out.
It's been a very long fizzle, I must say.
Well, yeah, well, and then
with lots of sparks.
In 2003, Giuseppe said, hey, why don't we play a reunion show or a reunion weekender? It was only 2 years later. But everyone seemed game, so everyone did it. And since then, we've been playing about 2 shows a year, I guess, on average, 2-3 shows a year. We call them reunion shows, I guess, still, even though, they happen with some regularity. And we've even managed to write a new record in that time, which has been a long process. We just record it down at Predator, our guitar player's place.
Otherwise known as P-Dubs.
P-Dubs. And
should be no stranger to listeners of this program.
Yeah, definitely not. So we have it. There is a new Inspector 7 CD actually coming out. Should be coming out this year, actually.
Is it finished?
It's done. It's just obviously finishing touches, mastering, etc.
Cool.
Needs to be done, but it's done. It should be out this year.
So yes, it is
a very long fizzle. But we essentially broke up as far as playing out regularly, I guess you could say. But we never really stopped playing and doing stuff, I guess you could say. But we're just not a regularly playing band anymore. Everyone else pretty much moved on to other projects. Predator at Predator Dub Assassins. Scooch had a great number of bands.
Scooch had a great number of bands just last week.
Yes, he moved on to several other bands.
He moved on to Moving On.
He's currently in Decrepit Youth. That is his latest.
Yes, which is actually
project.
Quite enjoyable.
Yes, actually.
Project. We played with them the other day and played with them actually at the last show at the Court, I believe.
It's probably my favorite thing he's done since I7.
Scooch has some amazing songs.
No, I agree.
Amazing lyrics. I mean, I think he's just really hit his stride with that project.
I know. I hope he sticks with this one.
It's very engaging, actually. Maybe we'll have Scooch come in and do a crazy show.
That'd be outstanding.
That would be. I don't know if we have enough time in the universe.
You have a few volumes. A few volumes.
Oh, boy.
But even Quincy went on. He was doing like some soul records and stuff and DJing and just everyone basically went on to other things. And
yeah, most of the guys are still playing in some fashion or another.
Except for Giuseppe, which is the main driving force behind these reunion shows. Is Giuseppe, really, and the record, in fact. But, you know, everyone does it when they can, basically. That's why it's so few and far between. And it's fun. It's always a fun time when we get back together, you know. Remember, the positive things usually come out when we're back together. So, but other than that, yeah, everyone moved on. And at the time, I had two other things going on. I had Steel Toe Solution, which I'd been playing in since 1997. And then I started Hub City Stompers in 2002.
So, wait, what year did I-7 stop?
I-7 stopped in 2001.
2001, you said, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so you started Steel Toe. You started that band?
Yeah, I started Steel Toe Solution with my friend Jerry D.
And what made you want to start that right in the middle of doing I-7?
It was a side project, so I could, because I, like I said, I really grew up with the hardcore scene more than anything.
Uh-huh.
I like ska, I like punk, I like
horror. I can't tell by your singing.
Who would know, right? Who would know? So, I mean, you know, it was a good way to scratch that itch as far as playing that music was concerned. Now, you know, we started out, I believe we were supposed to be an oi band, you know.
Right.
I believe Jerry had approached me about starting an oi band. But, I mean, just between his influence and mine alone, both of us came up just mostly in the hardcore scene. And so this oi was really like, it was kind of like hardcore tinged with an oi spirit. You know, we had tried to have some more slower melodic oi songs, but most of it's just old school hardcore, like, you know, older hardcore sound. Some people call it oi core, you know, if you want to, you know, mix the two genres. But I started that in 1997, just on the side, just so I could play that, you know, the other types of music I loved. And I did that for 10 years until 2007. We put out a full-length CD in, what was it, 2008 maybe? Or no, 2005, sorry. We were broken up by 07, so yeah. 2005, we put out a CD on Headache Records, The 8-Year War. And
who's Headache Records?
Headache Records is run by Armin from the Wretched Ones of New Jersey oi fame, punk and oi fame, and he's a real good guy, and we were totally glad to work with him. And so yeah, we put out the one record, and when my second son was coming along, I just realized I couldn't do the two bands anymore.
That being HCS.
Yes, I had started HCS in 2001, and that was the main focus and taking up the majority of my time anyway. I had a second kid coming, and so I had to talk to the guys in STS and say, hey, I gotta call it a day. I gotta have one band, you know. I mean,
I gotta call it a decade.
Yeah, seriously. It's been a nice 10 years. I got 10 years out of it, you know. But we do the same thing now. Just kind of like I-7. We'll play once,
hey,
twice a year,
not,
as
right?
Well, you know. If the spirit moves us, you know. Maybe not as often as I-7, but from time to time.
It doesn't take that much effort, right? Because you guys already know what's going on and all.
Yeah.
All right, you want to play something from Steel Toe Solution?
Absolutely. The song's called Without Us, and it's, I guess you could... addresses the whole working class hero aspect prevalent in the skinhead scene, but it's also one of our songs that I like more than the others.
All right, here comes Steel Toe Solution with
Without Us
from the album
8-Year War.
A bus disaster, make my wage. A western docks and I renege. Don't care what you pay for me, cause I'm being afraid of me. Every day you elevate my rage. You look at me a second class, cause I'm cut your grass. Think you can't be pushing me, cause your life's all cushion me. Gotta get a skill to work your ass. Go!
I like that one. It was that and a couple others were some of the fan faves. We, you know, mostly stuck to kind of a Headache Records-ish kind of early American style hardcore punk. But ironically enough, the song that wound up being pretty much the fan favorite was definitely more of an Oi song, and probably quite on purpose. It's called Wrong Side of the Pond, and it addresses the rampant obsession with...
Anglophilia?
Yes. Now, mind you, I understand this cadet subculture was started in Britain.
Sure.
And a lot of the original bands and music you like as a skinhead are from Britain.
Sure.
So that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm sorry, when you're out at a bar in New York City or New Jersey and you're just letting British terms like, shag and burb and taking the piss.
Wanker.
My bird. Exactly. Things like that just slide out of your mouth.
Did you say bird already?
Yeah.
You already said bird, didn't you?
Yeah.
Let's go have a pint down the pub.
It's ridiculous. I mean, it's just, come on. You know?
Yeah,
it's all right.
I'm...
You can be a skinhead and be American. It's all right. It's actually pretty commonality.
I would be a skinhead, but I can't afford the clothes, brother.
I know. It's ridiculous, right? It really got ridiculous.
I can't afford the haircut either, so now I'm just like a...
Haircut's cheap.
I think I'm like, I just give them to myself. I mean, that's how you're supposed to do it, right? That's what it says in that book I read about how to be a skinhead. I'm trying my best, but...
First, you gotta find the origin of the phrase, pick it up.
Yeah, pick it up.
Yeah, one thing at a time here.
Pick it up.
Hey, man, Judge Dredd was a skinhead, and he had real long hair.
See?
What's up with that? Can you explain that?
Well, that probably goes to the whole, it's more than just a look. It's a way of life. It's a movement.
Right.
It's a spirit. And once you've put your time in, you can grow an afro out if you want.
That's right.
Do they have Rastafarian skinheads?
Don't start that. Oh my god. What was that concept? I believe was
Did that in the 90s, brother. That was a long time ago, man.
One of Pub City Stompers' first tours. Might have been our first tour actually in 2005. And back when Chris Jefferson, one of I-7's earlier guitar players.
Actually, one of Hub City Stompers.
And actually one of Hub City
as well.
Yeah, when he left I-7, he formed a great punk band called The Dehumanized, which was actually one of my favorite New Jersey punk bands ever. I thought they were great.
Big up, Joffy.
Yes, big up to the Joff. Or Snapper, as we called him back then.
I thought his nickname was Snooky.
Snooky? No, it wasn't Snooky. Though that would have been fantastic, and amazingly, that could have been worked into a lot of people. But we called him the Snapper back then. But he was the original Hub City Stompers guitarist, and first tour, I'll never forget it. He and Nuno, sometime, I don't know where we were, somewhere in the Midwest or heading to Texas or something, came up with the concept of Dreadskin. Yeah, man, Dreadskins, man, Dreadskins. And I was repulsed. Myself, you've got to stop, man, stop. Cause, it just basically seemed like something for convenience where they could do their whole Rastafarian pot smoking thing and at the same time still maintain the whole skinhead thing.
Yeah, because as I recall, in those days, at least around here, skinheads didn't really smoke weed.
Some have. I mean, a lot of the ones I came up with did not.
That's what I'm saying. It was
some of them did other kinds of drugs.
Yes, but it was a thing that skinheads didn't really smoke weed when I was a kid.
Yeah, a lot of
they drank beer.
American Pride skins from Trenton that I were friends of mine back then. They drank a lot of beer.
But you see, I was in New York.
But I mean, I knew skins who did every single kind of.
Yeah,
freaking,
I mean, I agree with that statement
chemical.
Too. But I just remember it kind of being a thing in New York where I was like, yeah, man, I don't smoke weed, man. I'm a skinhead. That's degenerate drug.
For hippies and punks.
Yeah, for hippies.
For peace punks.
Hey, Travis, did you remember the Booty Boys in New Brunswick?
The Booty Boys?
Yeah.
I couldn't have, because I definitely would have remembered that.
It was like late 80s skinheads.
The Booty Boys.
Yeah.
No.
It was like a little crew.
I didn't start really hanging
Wait
out.
Wait a minute,
Brunswick
Hoagie,
till.
Who was in that?
Yeah, who is it? Who?
Not booty as in like shake your booty.
Manure that.
Yeah, booty.
Booty. Booty like boots.
Yeah, who was in that?
I can't remember any of them.
Mark
names.
Wright?
Yeah, like. No, he wasn't.
You know him?
Yeah, of course.
Travis?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay, so how were you laughing?
It was more 1990, well, booty.
He's laughing at booty still.
Still.
He's thinking about like all those rap
booty. Yeah, they used to listen to Booty
Boys.
Yeah,
Booty Boys. It was like this little crew, and they all like
Brad Garber.
No,
Mark Wright.
They were young. It was kind of a little phase for these guys. Actually, one of them I saw years later, and he transformed himself into a deadhead. So I was like, I was laughing at him. He got really mad.
Deadskins, man.
Deadskins. Yeah, that would have been cool.
Dude, the logo, you could have done wonders with that logo. You know?
I know, like the bear with the boots is racism.
The skull, you know?
True, true.
The skull,
yeah,
the
I like the skull.
Thing, and yeah. He's got red, white, and blue there already,
With the wreath around
you
it,
could
right?
do a little video with, like, the Dreadskin versus the Deadskins, you know?
Oh, my God, what a boring fight.
I know.
Nah, I mean, I didn't start
be,
hanging out.
They'd both be too high, man.
I wasn't in Broadfist till like, I'd say early 90s, 90, 91, is when I started hanging out in the Hate Squad were the guys I knew.
Oh, right.
Unless okay. they, unless maybe.
Loki?
The Hate Asbury.
Yeah, Loki, Mike Irwin.
Squad?
You know,
yeah, Mike Irwin.
Jay. You know, yeah. Brian Franklin, whole Vision crew. You know.
Are we getting a little too inside here? You know? Perhaps. What do you guys think?
Hey, you brought me in.
No, I know, but I mean, what do you
we
think?
We can branch it out into New York. Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, like,
it's
you
universal.
Know, is this going to be interesting to the listener?
Yeah, that's true.
That's my question.
Yeah.
Just edit me out, like, completely.
Look, you never
no,
know. You
I'm going to leave
know.
In the. I'm going to leave in the good parts.
You never know who's listening. You never know.
That's
true. You
true.
Never do.
But
never do.
Yeah, I don't know where that came from. Anyway, well, I don't know what we were talking about before the booty boy.
We're talking about skinheads in New Brunswick.
I was talking about the Dreadskins and how it wasn't so much the pot smoking thing. It was the Rastafarian.
My short term memory is shot, man. I'm sorry.
Like where just I'm sorry, just the Rasta and the skinhead thing does not mix. Skinheads can like reggae. It's fine. All forms of it. I always did. I always liked Black Uhuru and you know the Roots stuff. But I'm just saying, I realized it was also a separate culture. I also realized that the original demise of skinheads in England was because of reggae going more Afrocentric and Rastafarian. And a lot of the skins were like, well, that's not that's not the reggae we came up with and that
sure.
we liked, and you know, that hence the you know demise in the early 70s. So, you know, the whole when they came up with that Redskin thing, as soon as you said that, I was like, oh boy, just reminded me of that. It's been a running joke ever since.
Well, you know, it's not. I don't think it's the only place that the phenomenon has taken hold either, because there is such a crossover. You know?
No, I know there is. I know in Houston,
those scenes rub up against each other all the time, innit?
Yeah.
All right, enough of this.
Oh,
let's.
Yeah, I was
going to play another Steel Toe song.
Yeah,
right?
I was going to play Wrong Side of the Pond just to address the Anglo.
Holy cannoli.
I know,
we've been
right?
talking about that the whole time.
Hey, man, tangents, baby.
All right, let's do this.
So, this is Wrong Side of the Pond. It's
Steel Toe Solution.
Steel Toe Solution off the same album, 8-Year War. And listen to the lyrics, it'll be clear.
I'm not pissed. I'm drunk. I don't shag. I fuck. I got thighs. I'm not sus. Are you one of them or are you one of us? Now what's this craziness I hear today? Did I wake up in New Jersey or the fucking UK? Rather let me ask that in a silly word spoken. Last time I checked, you grew up in Hoboken. I hear mindless antics and my mind is blown. From what I understand, a football is thrown. The Steelers make the playoffs, I get pretty excited. But I don't give a fuck about Manchester United. I'm not pissed, I'm drunk, I don't shake. Revolution, my sidekick, death. Frontin' like you're British, you gotta be ignorant. You're worse than an illegal, you wanna be immigrant. Move your ass to England if you think it's so bad. I make you eat a bottle if you call me lad. I got a lot of rage, and people like you trigger it. You suck it on a fag or a motherfucking cigarette.
I'm not a pig, I'm drunk, I don't shit. Imitate, so I'm hanging with my boys, not with my mates. Fighting like you're British, you're just about criminal. I sleep with women, that wing-feathered animals. I hear your limey sass, I know it's a farce. I kick you in the ass if I hear you say us. You fill me full of nausea, yeah, you wanna be scrubbed. Now I'm going to the bar, not the motherfucking pub.
I'm drunk.
Are you one of them?
Okay, so that was Steel Soul Solution with Wrong Side of the Pond. You're listening to the Virgin City Podcast. I'm King Django, and our guest today is Travis Nelson, currently with Hub City Stompers, otherwise known as the Reverend Sinister. Also here in the studio today, we have Mr. Hoagie-san, Paul Holgerson of the Dubcatcher fanzine. We'll talk to Paul about that at some point, too. So, Hub City Stompers started when?
Almost directly. It was maybe 2-3 months after Inspector 7 stopped playing and essentially, quote-unquote, broke up at the time. It was literally that later that fall, I immediately started looking for members to form a new band. I mean, I wasn't done, you know, despite what had happened with I-7. I didn't want to stop doing what I'd been doing. I just, you know, had to do it with some different people and maybe from a different perspective with some different influences. Now, a good part of the Inspector 7 members at that time actually came along with me in the original Hub City Stompers lineup. Scoochie was there on tenor sax. Dustin DK, who had joined Inspector 7 pretty late, unfortunately right before we broke up, essentially. But he got to play some. He was on baritone sax and alto and melodica. And Adam X came along with me. Adam X was... Well, could have been on anything. He was actually the original Hub City Stompers drummer at the time.
That's right, but he was the trombonist in I-7, right?
He was trombonist and occasional guitar player in I-7. Basically, that's why I named him Adam X, because he was like the X Factor. Like, wherever you need him to play, he could play.
Uh-huh.
So he started out as the original drummer. Actually, our first recording we ever made, which was for the Still Standing compilation on Megalith. It's Adam X on drums. It's a fellow named John Q on guitar. Those were the people I found first. Scooch, a guy named Chris Finnegan, a.k.a. Beerblade the Mighty, as I named him. I found him at Rutgers University, walking down the street with a stand-up bass and some ska patches on his jacket. And I literally pulled over my mailman and was like, hey, you want to join a ska band? Like, I went out and hunted people down.
Yeah, that was Kismet.
And was it?
That was Kismet.
That's your people's talk, right?
No, I don't think so. it's English now. We're going to find out. I mean, so is Kanish, right?
Oh, yeah, well, true. Good point.
That's English now, too.
And then I eventually sought out Joffy to... His original purpose was to be guitar and kind of like a co-front man. Like, I knew I was going to miss that kind of, like, duality aspect of Inspector 7 of, like, just being the co-front man with Giuseppe, you know? You know, I knew I was going to be the main front man for the band, but at the same time, I didn't want to just be the only one, you know? I wanted other people singing and writing. And that was definitely the one thing I knew I was going to miss, was the duality aspect of I-7. So Joffy was in the original lineup.
Because now, when you started HCS, you didn't have anyone to say pop shop poop shoot.
Nope, no poop shoot. I definitely missed the poop shoot ever since I left prison. I mean, no.
Well, they're easy to find around here. I'll tell you something.
So that was the purpose.
This neighborhood, man.
Of HCS. And it was actually Scoochie who named the band. We were sitting around, and, you know, we used to practice at Scoochie's house, and after practice, we were trying to figure out a band name, and I'm sure we had all sorts of horrible
ideas. The house
ideas.
In Downbrook?
Yep, the house in Downbrook.
Same house.
The basement, yes.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I came up with several horrible ideas, and he's like, listen, you know, because at the time, half the members were from Inspector 7. So he's
right.
Like, listen, you know, half the members are I-7, so there's a definite I-7 connection, no matter, you know, I wanted to kind of separate. I didn't want to be Inspector 7 Part 2, you know, but he said, look, no matter what, you know, half the band's I-7, we're from New Brunswick still. We're based out of New Brunswick, which is Hub City.
That's right.
You know, so, you know, why don't we just call ourselves Hub City Stompers? I was just like, you know what, fine.
After...
That's fine.
The song?
After the song and the crew.
After the...
The Inspector 7 song.
The Inspector 7 song, HCS, right?
Yeah, the Inspector 7 song, Hub City Stompers, I wrote, that was one of the first songs I wrote when I joined. And that was in reference to an actual, a crew of skins and punks and mods that hung
from
out.
Here. From here.
Yeah, hung out in Hub City in New Brunswick. It was a very short-lived crew, but I tell you, it was like a very fast explosion. It was
intense.
While it was
man.
There, it was very intense. It was a very fun time. And it was 1994, I believe. So I wrote the song for Inspector 7 about that crew, Hub City Stompers.
Who was in that crew, if you don't mind?
It wound up being countless people. Like, people moved from other states and were like, became New Brunswick residents, were in that crew. But originally started by myself, Quincy, and Jeff Silverman as a joke. I was walking home from Melody Bar one night, or the three of us were walking home from Melody Bar, and I had intervened and broken up what was about to be a fight between a large Rutgers football player and a friend of ours, a punk kid we knew. And then walking home from the Melody Bar, the football player and his friend were following us, and the football player was annihilated and very drunk, and his friend was, you know, trying trying to get him to turn the other direction, but he was following us, yelling this and that, da da da. When we got down to the middle of town by, was that Marita's Cantina, kind of by the Farron Mall there?
Yeah.
We finally turned around and said, you know, you need to go the other way, man. Like, you know, we're just trying to walk home or I don't know where we were walking. And he got on nuts. So we went up on the Farron deck and he grabbed my wrists and I twisted out and we started fighting. And he's, you know, probably a real big dude, probably didn't. Really never needed to fight in his life because everyone was scared of him because he was big. So he's throwing these haymakers and my skinny little, I was probably like 150 pounds at the time. I'm like dodging, ducking, doink, 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 nailing him. And then he tackles me into the corner and I'm waiting for him to start wailing on me and he bites me. He bites me on the head. This dude who outmade weighed me by about 100 pounds bites me on my skull. I was like, this dude's biting me, man.
What?
Oh my God. Yeah, I was lighting him up and then he just hit me in the corner and bit my head.
What?
And all of a sudden,
Iron Mike Tyson.
Ace comes up from behind him. I see the ace swing. The guy goes down. So we're kicking the snot out of this dude and the cops pull up. And we're like, oh boy, this looks bad. And so they come up, like, what's going on? But thank God for this guy's drunken ignorance, because he gets up and he starts yelling, you know, I don't know what if the word's acceptable on your podcast. But
oh yes, every word is acceptable.
Okay, he's
on
yelling,
our podcast.
Nigger this and nigger that, and you nigger this and that. And I go, you know, I'm after kicking the living dog shit out of this guy, I'm like, you see, officer, you know, I'm sounding all reasonable, though, and he's yelling nigger this and that. And the two cops were like, all right, you guys go home, you know. So totally got off with it. And then so we're walking home and we're like making jokes about being a crew, you know, and oh, Hub City Stompers, like that's, you know, the name that came. And I believe I got the name Stompers from the Ralph Bakshi film, Hey Good Looking.
Bakshi.
They were called the Stompers. Hey Good Looking. Remember that? Kind of like set in the 50s, and there's like the gangs, the Italian gang and the black gang.
Oh, okay.
And,
with that big bald skinhead guy?
No. This is you're thinking of The Wanderer.
The Wanderers, yeah.
No, this was an animated film. This was a cartoon film, but yeah, The Wanderers. That's what
it's funny because I'm kind of a Bakshi fan and I don't know that film.
Hey, Good Looking. Look it up.
It takes place in Brooklyn, New York.
Like Coonskin. That was a good one.
It's fantastic. What'd you call me? Jeff, did you hear that?
Coonskin?
Called me a Coonskin. I don't appreciate it.
Oh. I would imagine that would be a tune on the next HCS record.
That's why nobody knows that movie. It's actually a great movie, but he had to change the name of it. I forgot what he called it after that. He called it something else.
But that's where the moniker came from. In any case, it's Hub City Stompers. It started out as a joke and somehow caught life and legitimacy and wound up being a big group of friends and, of skins and punks and mods that hung out and partied. And,
cool.
You know, wrecked the houses they subletted.
So let's listen to that song right now then.
Yeah, right? Why not? Throw in another I-7 song. Yeah. That was a classic.
Yeah. Let's do it. All right, here we have Hub City Stompers by
Inspector Seven.
Inspector Seven.
Do you remember the 1994? 420 skinhead stomping through your door. Our house 67 Wellington Street. Our house picked a Wellington with our feet. How do we gain our redemption in this ice cold town of pretension? How do we shake the blame when everybody knows our name? HCS! HCS! Our city's gonna put us to the test. HCS! HCS! You all dead. Midnight clubbing parties in the skinny dipping pool. 40 ounces and that's the stunts and breaking all the rules. Smash the fat party and rule is a minority. Skid a girlfriend back to the sorority. Why is my fist a chain rest in this hot bed town of incest? Prepare for the world to shame. You're falling right into their game. It's yes, it's yes. Our city's gonna put us to the test. It's yes, it's yes. We're having a good party and you are dead. Another Brunswick day. In case it leads to friction, we'll always be aware. Fucking back to fiction, we don't even care. Who put us on the catwalk in this room of little town of trash talk? Four winds to bend the flame. It's always gonna be the same. HCS, HCS. One city's gonna put us to the test. HCS, HCS. We're having a good party and you are a guest star.
This is King Django, and you've been listening to Virgin City Podcast, episode 15. We'll be back soon with another episode at aversioncity.podomatic.com. And remember to visit www.stubbornrecords.com. See you later.